want a piece of me?
Do I feel like it? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of red gum in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger punch.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You shoot your eye out, kid.
I answered. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby!
I am the father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
He's the man behind the mask. And he's out of control.
Welcome all film fans, welcome to the Cinema and Movie Podcast. I am your host Juan, and I am joined with Ed.
What's up, folks? How y'all doing today?
Man, it is insane. We are here, Friday the 13th, Part 7.
Part 7.
The Cinema and Movie Podcast. Man, Ed, how are you doing? Did you enjoy the 3-year anniversary?
I did. It's crazy to have that knowledge that we are past that point now. So that's fucking great, but man, I just can't believe that at times. You know?
Man, it was a fun episode. If I can encourage you guys to all go back and listen to that episode, it just released this past Monday as we talked our 3-year anniversary with Psycho.
Yeah.
And not only was it, you know, fun getting our, you know, revisioned reviews back on it, but we were joined with Craig and Zach, and you know, We dug into the email bag last week, and a lot of the emails, man, they continue to pour in. They like 4 different reviews all in one episode. It's something special to me.
And then on top of that, we get different reviews out there from people who email in at times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there was a bit of love and a bit of hate for Psycho, you know?
Yeah.
It actually, what's funny is on one of the channels on the TV, there was actually an Alfred Hitchcock marathon.
Oh, nice.
So I watched a bit of Vertigo, watched Psycho again,
pretty,
all kinds of stuff.
Pretty cool seeing all that stuff. I'll talk about it Monday with recent watches, but I just got done watching Rear Window again.
And it also had Rear Window.
It made me want to rewatch some of the other Alfred Hitchcock movies. Maybe one day we can talk about The Birds.
Yeah, Birds. That one. I was about to say, that one was also on there. Like, it was so funny how it was that day that, literally, like, so it was funny that, like, that day had that whole Hitchcock marathon.
The day the episode was released?
Yes.
Or the day we recorded?
Well, the day we recorded, and it was also on the day we released it as well.
Nice.
So it was just like, are you serious? That was, and I'm not saying fate, but that was kind of fate-like.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, honestly, so.
It's been a real fun ride. It's been a real joy these past 3 years, and every year we evolve.
Yeah,
whether it be in sound or we introduce a new segment or a new sponsor. You know,
yeah.
It's almost like now every year we've gotten a sponsor. Starting out with, you know, I know this is an ad-free show, but I'll talk more about it on Monday. But yeah, sponsors are crazy. And I wouldn't have had any luck getting any sponsors if it wasn't for everybody out there listening.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for my numbers or if it wasn't for the downloads or all the interactions and emails for these people to see and hear, I would all to everybody out there who looks for us, listens, downloads, and then interacts. But no, let's get into it, man. This is an ad-free show and a segment-free show. So this is if this is the first time you've joined us, thank you. And this is a little bonus coverage that we do every single Thursday. And we spend about 45 minutes to an hour talking about, you know, the franchise, whether it be A24 series or right now we're on the franchise of Friday the 13th, man. Part 7. IMDb has it a 5.3. Rotten Tomatoes currently sits at 32. And then the Metascore is 15%. So,
oh shit.
Yeah. With a box office of $19 million, it made its money back very well. That's the thing, though. We're going to talk about that here in this episode. The budget was around $2.8 million, but it grossed almost $20 million at the box office.
Right.
But you know what? If we're going to go ahead and dig into some of it right now. What does that say to you, though, about horror movies and horror franchises? Because the movie could be god-awful.
Yeah.
It could have bad reviews. But, you know, it grossed almost $20 million, and it only had a 2.2 or 2.8 budget. So no matter how bad these reviews are, even in today's world, Malignant just came out, the new James Wan horror movie.
Yep.
Got a lot of terrible and mixed reviews, but guess what? It's right there behind Shang-Chi at the box office. It's number two right now.
Well, I think that's A, timing, B, promotion, and C, I would probably say, like I said, right time, so not much to compete with, except for the big movie. If you don't want to see that, like my wife, she's not a fan of comic book movies, so she goes, you know, elsewhere to see something
even
else.
Even in 1988 with Friday 13th Part 7, The New Blood, it had a May 13th, 1988 release date, which going into the summertime, you know, there's a lot of summer blockbusters out. But it made its money, and that's one thing I'll say about, you know, horror movies and its fans. It could have really bad reviews, but people are still going to go see a horror movie. They need to go get scared.
Yeah.
But no, before we get into today's episode, guys, a look back. If you guys want to listen to our past episodes, you can find us on Spotify, Podbean, Anchor, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or you can just visit our social media page, the facebook.com/cinnamonmoviepodcast, or just Facebook search The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. We pop right up. The Instagram is one word, @cinnamonmoviepodcast, and then the Twitter is @cinnamon405. So in those social media pages, you'll find the bio. And in the bio, you can find the link tree. So click on the link tree, and you'll find everywhere that we're located, including @prescribedfilmsnetwork. So you can log into www.prescribedfilms.com and click podcast, and we are down there at the bottom left-hand corner. Or you can just hashtag PFPN or search on Spotify, Prescribed Films Network, including iTunes. You can now find the Cinnamon Movie Podcast on iTunes thanks to Prescribed Films Network. So if you like to listen to podcasts and not just us, there's a bunch of fun podcasts on there. So go check them out at prescribedfilms.com. And you can find yours truly, the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. So, Ed, before we dig into today's episode, Part 6, we can probably agree, has been the best Friday movie since Part 1. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree with that.
What was this watch for you here, Part 7?
It was all right. It was all right. I mean, definitely kind of cool to see Jason get the shit kicked out of him for the first time, truthfully. So that was kind of a cool thing.
Truthfully?
Well, I mean, it seemed like he had to go through a lot more in this than in recent. Other than, you know, with his machete.
Let's dig into it. Let's get our thoughts. Years after Tommy chained him underwater at Camp Crystal Lake, the dormant Jason Voorhees is accidentally released from his prison by telekinesis. There you go. I haven't taken my stroke medicine today. Teenager Tina. Now only she can stop him.
Although, one thing about this whole series, I will say. Okay, so in the actual life, we are 7-8 years after the first one. This is 88. The first one was what, 80, 81?
80.
Okay, so we're 8 years after. It says years after. We are still in the fucking 80s in this damn thing.
Well, it doesn't follow chronological movie release time. So, the first one doesn't... And remember, the first one roughly was probably in the 80s. I think it did say, you know, summer of 1980 or whatever.
Yeah.
But the good thing about 7 is it doesn't say 1988. You know, neither does 6. So, it could be years later. But that's what I want to talk to you about. So, Terry Kaiser plays Dr. Cruz. Young Tina is played by Jennifer Banco. Mr. Shepard is played by John Orton. Tina is played by Lar Park Lincoln. Nick is played by Kevin Spritis. And then Jason, finally introduced, Kane Hodder is your Jason. And
probably the most well-recognized Jason.
Probably because he has done more than just one film.
Yeah.
So, that being said, this was your first full first watch of Part 7.
Yep.
The New Blood. I gotta say, man, with just one or two words, what would you describe when the movie was over?
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Mine would probably be a decent one-time watch. I've seen it multiple times. You know, I've seen it at least probably 7-8 times. But I don't know if this is one that I would want to revisit ever so often.
Right.
But we're going to get into it, man. I thought probably the greatest opening in any Jason movie is this one right here. And I'm gonna show you why.
There's a legend round here. A killer buried, but not dead. A curse on Crystal Lake. A death curse. Jason Voorhees curse. They say he died as a boy, but he keeps coming back. Few have seen him and lived. Some have even tried to stop him. No one can.
So that is why I think this is probably my funnest and best opening, is because you get different scenes and different kills from throughout the whole franchise so far. You get to see, you know, it doesn't mention Part 5, which I'm fine with. I think this actually does a good job skipping Part 5 as a whole.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely okay with that.
Especially since Jason was
right. And then it shows you the resurrection of Jason in Part 6. And it kind of gives you the Tommy Jarvis background story, because you see him as a little kid chop up Jason, and then you see Tommy come back in 6, not 5, which I'm fine with, you know, lure him down into the water. And therefore, if 6 was the final one, it would have been a good way for him to go out. Tied him down to Camp Crystal Lake. He's back home where he belongs. He's dead. Perfect opening. The only thing I did not like, the resurrection of Jason Voorhees in 7. I did not like the whole Tina versus Jason, mutant versus zombie-like, mummy, gruesome Jason. I didn't like Tina at all. I liked Tina, the character, and I liked the actress. I did not like the powers that she possessed. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I kind of think they were trying to go with supernatural versus supernatural.
No. That's what they were going with.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, and I kind of liked it. I didn't like the doctor, that's for sure. He was my least favorite in this by far.
Why was that? Because
he's a creepy motherfucker.
He is creepy, but he gets off of wanting to see her powers. Because you got to look at it like, as a therapist or a doctor, he is wanting to... He probably sees dollar signs, and he probably sees... Nobel Prize or some shit like that. You know
that,
what I mean?
That wasn't really it. It was more the fact that, you know, every 10 seconds... He reminded me of the little girl from True Grit. Every 10 seconds, basically, when he didn't get his way...
You're going to the hospital. Going to the hospital. I don't want her to end up in the hospital. When she was like,
I'll get my lawyer on you. I'll get my lawyer. My lawyer will be here. I'll get my lawyer.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we say Ed is high.
Why?
You threw a complete curveball at me. We're sitting here talking about the doctor from Friday the 13th.
Well, no, he reminded me of it, and it was fucking annoying. Like, okay, you know, I get it once or a couple times.
Because he's repeating himself throughout the whole movie.
But, like, fucking 12 times? That's not a legit count, but you know what I mean? Like, multiple times. And it's just, shut the fuck up. You know, just, god dang. But then again, the mother's kind of annoying, too, in that aspect. Because she's like, you know, a helpless fawn, basically. Like, oh, I don't want... Or a helpless doe, I guess. I don't want my daughter to go to the hospital, so, okay, I'll bend your ways, Mr. Doctor, because you're the only one I can find.
Well, how does that upset you, though? Because, I mean, is it just the way the acting is portraying off, or is it the way the character's written? Because...
A little bit of the character's written, for that matter.
I mean,
the guy pulled it off, I think, very well, so that speaks good for him as in an actor, I think.
I mean, I just don't know how well you want to nitpick acting in a Friday the 13th movie.
Right.
You could probably nitpick an acting in maybe True Grit, but if you're doing it for Jason, it's just kind of hypocritical because you should have been doing this 8 movies ago.
Well, I'm not saying that. Yeah, you know, no. There's been throughout the entire franchise, but no. It's just that was fucking annoying, like, seriously, just fully annoying.
So, I don't know, the acting annoyed you in this movie, but really, nothing really annoyed me at all throughout this movie other than maybe some of the character traits of Tina. You know, we talked, funny enough, last week about how part 6 hardly had any nudity in it.
Yeah.
This one made up for it.
Yes, it did.
This one was, I think, a little over the top on some of the nudity. Not as bad as, which one was it? 4?
4, yeah.
Not as bad as 4, but it was a little over the top. And then it almost seemed like that right there in the act 2, there was probably like a good 4 or 5 minutes of just different thrown out nudity. They're like, oh, we had none in part 6. Let's make up for it.
Yay. Like, okay, what the fuck?
What did you think of Tina's daddy issues at the beginning of the movie? Technically, that's how Jason
gets raised.
Gets resurrected was the powers that killed Tina's dad, supposedly.
Powers that be.
What did you think?
I think she was trying to go for her dad and fucked up and then went for...
So you think she technically was trying to bring somebody back, but she ended up, you know, calling back and waking up Jason?
Basically.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, because she was calling out for him and all that, and then all of a sudden her powers started, like, started going off, and basically, you know, because her emotions started peaking, basically, and she just, so her shot was fully off, apparently, or where she thought, because I'm just like, you murdered him right off the dock. Like, literally, the doc caved in and killed him.
So, I didn't enjoy the awakening. I thought it should have been a little bit different. But I guess, you know, if he was supposed to be dead, he's under the water. He's going to need some kind of other power force, life form to awaken him, I guess. It's clever, don't get me wrong.
Just wish there was something better. Kind of like, how did you like it when in 6?
I liked 6's awakening because Tommy dug him up, found out where he was, dug him up. And then I guess it's kind of the same thing, the powers that be of the lightning and the thunderstorm.
That's kind of, that reminded me of a Frankenstein kind of thing, though.
The telekinesis, or?
No, the lightning. Because
that's how, you know. Which, I mean, again, that's paying homage to a classic horror monster from back in the day itself.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
So, obviously, with Tina growing up and, you know, killing her dad, supposedly, and now unlocking Jason, did you enjoy the hazing that happened to Tina throughout the movie? Almost like, oh, she's an X-Men, let's haze her.
The blonde chick, no, I didn't enjoy that. All the rest was kind of just whatever. The calling her, what was, the jacket scene with, Eddie right there in the living room of, the uncle's house.
You're talking about Sandra. You didn't like her as a bully.
That was, no, that wasn't Sandra. That was the platinum blonde rich chick that made Eddie, have himself in a,
Jane?
Straight jacket look.
Was it Jane?
Possible. I think so.
So you're talking about Melissa.
Yes. Melissa was a complete and total bitch. I mean, honestly,
she's
like,
the one that at the end of the movie was like, I'm going to go lay down. You want to come?
Yeah, and then basically gets her fucking head chopped in half with an axe. Justly so.
But no, you could just tell a difference in this cast. I guess, I mean, I don't know. I guess it was just the way... Maybe they surrounded Tina. I didn't necessarily enjoy the surrounding cast. I enjoyed Tina, without a doubt. She was probably one of the best parts about the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah. I did like how the kills in this one were automatically darker.
Yeah.
The guy who had the... He almost... The social media calls it the coochie face.
David, I think?
Yeah, where his face is like sawed off in the middle and it looks like a rubber a zipper.
Yeah. David.
That kill was really, really nice.
Yeah.
And then in this one, you get the classic... This is where you first see the classic...
Sleeping bag
kill.
Yes.
What did you think of that?
I liked that. I thought that was great. Especially, you know, going up to her and all that. He ripped through the friggin'... Got the machete from her boyfriend, ripped through the tent with it, and dragged her ass out, swung her up against the tree. That's all that there is. Simple as that.
Did you enjoy the... or then there was the scene where he reaches in and he pulls out like the heart or the spine from the beginning?
Yeah, that was crazy right there. Was that on Michael, I think?
I believe so.
The birthday boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Same birthday, too. That's fucked up. He should have recruited him or something.
What did you like? This is the first time you see Jason, like, really, really decomposing.
Yeah, that
you
is see, true.
What did you think about, like, his jaw hanging out, and you see the side of his face and his jaw and the skeleton?
I mean, honestly, if they're going to make him into, like, a zombie-type creature, then I agree with it. I mean, honestly, because you need to at least have some continuity to it to... I feel like that's a little bit of what brings audiences back, is they're like, what else do they have this bastard doing?
Or maybe what else is he going to look like in this movie?
True, yeah.
I don't know. But you said you enjoyed the way, you know, you could see his spine, you could see his jaw, his bone skeleton from his jaw.
Yep.
You liked that you could see his bones from his hands, so you like him looking decomposed.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, all of his torn up skin from probably all the fish munching on him here and there, and you know, the water erosion and all that. So yeah, I thought that was a good take on it.
Kane Hodder is Jason, man. Like you said, this is probably the most known actor to play Jason. And I think it's usually, I mean, he's been, this is, you know, 7, 8, 9, and I think Jason X.
Yes.
So he's been in 4 movies. What did you notice anything different other than just the way how big he is?
How big he is, as well as kind of, I mean, he put up with more shit through this one, I will say that. So you definitely got to feel like Kane Hodder was up for more things. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, the on-fire scene itself was a shit ton more than what Jason's ever dealt with. As well as, you know, being, what was it, choked with a light cable and basically hung with it, dropped down through 2 stories, basically, into a basement straight on concrete, you know, being drowned before in the movie, before, and then, you know, going to this one, it's end up kind of the same way. You get dragged right back down. So, I mean, he had to go through a lot more shit. You could definitely tell that. And then even when he was chasing the one girl who gave herself a makeover and then basically was trying to get with the pothead, you could tell that he had some brains about him, basically, because she kept trying to get around, get under the fence and all that in the barn or whatever the hell. And he walked all around it and was searching for her. So, I mean, he knew she was in there. He just didn't know exactly where she was at what point.
Tina's mom, I guess in the unrated version, you see Jason killing her. She's, like, in the uncut version, you see Tina driving down the street in the van, and you see Jason, like, holding the dead body. Are you glad that it didn't really show Tina's mom die in this one.
In the van?
Yeah, yeah. Tina's driving something in the uncut scene. And she sees like a mirage.
Oh, a hallucination.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of Jason like giving it to her mom.
Huh. I mean,
because you don't really see the mom die in this movie. Right?
I mean, I'd seen him Dr. Cruz hold her.
He was holding her, but he didn't you didn't see her actually die. You didn't, and you didn't technically didn't see who killed her, really. We all know it was Jason. But I like how it's set up to have the doctor look like he did something wrong.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing. It was kind of cool to see, like, how she would have small hallucinations here and there. But, dang, okay. Well, there's that. I mean, I guess it didn't really make too much of a difference without that. So, yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it would have just been some little side thing coming in, not really a huge plot device or a huge plot fork in the road kind of deal. So, you know.
What do you think of it being a part 7? Is it, do you feel like it's slowly starting to drag you down, or are you kind of like, let's see where 8 takes us?
Kind of like, let's see where 8 takes us. I know what 8 is, but I mean,
but you know what 8 is, but you probably haven't. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it, but it's been a while. But I mean, no, I'm kind of enjoying I'm enjoying revisiting these.
Be honest with me, though.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. I'm enjoying revisiting these because you get to see the story of Jason unfold, basically. And it's a little bit different than what I remember. Although I don't think I've seen 3 or 4 of these. So there's that. Because like 9 I haven't really seen. I know that for sure. 8 I've seen I think 2 or 3 times. But it's been probably 8-9 years.
And then you've never seen 6 or 7, right?
7, no. 6, no. Not really. 5 I have. 4 I have. And then 1 and 2. So 3 I haven't, 5 I haven't.
I was really happy with the girl that was messing with the cat at the end.
Oh.
I'm really glad she got hers. Okay, the way the blonde was annoying to you, or the doctor was, she was probably the one that was annoying to me.
Why is that?
Just the way she would go about herself. She wanted to be the popular one, but she wasn't the main antagonist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, everybody's going to have a little bit of a difference on what annoys the shit out of them. But, you know.
Are these movies starting to run together towards you? Or are you pretty, like, glad with, like, separating them out among the rest?
It's pretty easy to separate them out, mostly. I was about to say, it's not really hard. 4 sticks out mostly because of Corey Feldman. 1, of course, sticks out because no Jason, at least. 2 sticks out because Sack Face, and then 3 sticks out because that's where he first got his mask. But I mean,
and then don't forget, we don't do any segments or top fives with this. All we do is we really talk about our favorite kill, and then but at the very end of this whole Friday the 13th watch, we're going to rank every single movie from best all the way to worst. So whether it be, you know, I'm keeping up with my star ratings. I don't know if you are, Ed, but I'm matching up what my star ratings will be to where at the end of the season, at the end of the episode, we'll match up or at the end of the Friday 13th talk, we'll match up how these movies rank in our book. So we gave a star rating for all of them before, but yeah. The very, very last Friday 13th episode, we will definitely rank them from our favorite to our very least favorite. So it'll be kind of fun to see where these line up throughout the most talks.
Pretty sure I know which one's going to be the least favorite.
We'll see. We still have a few more to get to go for that. Maskless Jason in this one compared to all the other ones.
Ooh.
What did you think? I thought it was a little juicy. He looked a little juicy.
Well, I mean, the wrong dude's been soaking in a lake for how long? And did you notice, did you hear every single time he walks, you hear the of his socks and boots and all that stuff just squishing together? So, I mean, that's probably why he's annoyed right there. His shit's fucked up, man. Get that man some new boots and socks.
He's probably got gout.
Probably blisters and all kinds of nastiness on his feet.
Did you like the ending? I mean, I know we're pretty much skipping ahead, but we'll talk favorite kills. Because in this one, really, everybody who makes fun of Tina gets theirs.
Yeah.
Even the boyfriend. No, the boyfriend stays.
Yeah.
It's the one who tried to cheat with the boyfriend.
Yeah, the Melissa.
Yeah, Melissa gets it. The ending to me, though, was just so rapid paced. It was so fast.
It's almost like they were trying to make up for time.
Yeah, I guess. But what did you think of the last 20, pretty much from the time Melissa gets hers to the ending to where you have Tina versus Jason? What did you think of those scenes? And honestly, to me, it's what maybe saved this from being just as bad as 5.
I would say I liked it quite a bit just because of the props that they used and the ways that they pulled
different things off. Was very unique and organic the way she pretty much took him down multiple different times. The screws to the face, or you know, her powers literally squeezing the head of Jason with a mask, the mask popping him off.
That scene was just horrendous. That look right there, that fucking pus and blood and other bullshit. Oh, that was nasty.
And then you have, you know, he was standing next to the telephone pole. She grabbed up the telephone pole and pretty much got him.
Yep.
So that's pretty much where I'm setting on that last 10 or 15 minutes pretty much saved this movie.
Yeah. I'd agree so.
What would probably be your favorite kill in this?
That one would probably be I hate to do this, but sleeping bag. Because it was just kind of like, okay, I know this one. Oh, yeah. You know, he just comes in, fucks up the tent, drags her ass. I didn't realize how he dragged her. Never really knew that. So once he dragged her, I was like, ah, shit, here we go, you know.
It wasn't as long as I remember, though.
No, not nearly. If I had to put a second one, I would probably say, and I hate to do this just because there was, you know, but Sandra out in the lake when he dragged her down kind of reminded me a little bit of Jaws. Especially the camera angle looking directly up and darkness and all that, nude girl, all that stuff. And yeah, so definite difference in the killer. Yeah,
mine would probably be the sleeping bag. Then if I had to pick a second one, it would probably be the way he got the doctor.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And that's one of the first times he uses, if not the first time he ever uses, like, a motorizer, a powered thing, isn't it?
He tried to use a chainsaw in part 2 or 3.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's right.
But this one was more of a saw blade, right?
That was basically like a pretty hardcore weed whacker. But yeah, it was a saw blade on the end of a weed whacker.
Yeah, maskless Jason. And then ultimately the demise of Jason, which this movie was almost sitting about a 7 for me. I'm not going to lie. And then, you know, the telekinesis kept going through my head, and, you know, and then...
Hers too.
Yeah. I didn't like... I don't know, man. I don't know why. I guess it was too much supernatural for me. Jason is one thing. You know, that's fine. But a victim, I just felt like they were, at this point, throwing gum up against the wall and just seeing what flavor stuck.
Well, apparently raspberry or schnozberries. Because the wall tasted like schnozberries.
Again, that is why Edward is high every single week.
I swear.
Now
it's twice a week.
Yeah, no shit. And Zach will be here next week, guys.
Oh, shit. Chiefing all around.
I would like to see what his thoughts are on some of these horrific movies.
When he's high?
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. And then it really went low for me when the dad from under the lake grabs Jason and pulls him down. That right there took it down a few notches for me.
Looking like a Pirates of the Caribbean extra.
He looked like he worked at Dollar General.
God dang, dude. Fucking Dollar General's poor self. Aw, come on, man.
I mean, not like he worked. I mean, he looked like the mummy version of a Dollar General. I don't know. That probably wasn't any better. But I really think...
Mummy?
I really think that that just overdid it for me. And then she passed out, so like...
What the hell happened in the aftermath?
And then we haven't seen really a dream sequence since what? Since Tommy woke up in the hospital, which was 4?
I think so.
No, 5.
5. Yeah.
So we haven't really seen a dream sequence since 5.
They lost their way.
Did she fall asleep? And she... I don't know, man, but I just did not like the dad undertaking himself, you know, undertakering himself from underneath the watery grave and bringing Jason down with him.
Man, imagine the commentary from WWF commentators, man. That would have been fucking crazy.
Yeah. Good God Almighty. through hell, fire, and brimstone, and watery grave. I really just... What did you think, man? I'm sitting here dogging the shit out of it. You probably liked it, didn't you?
It was cheesy as shit.
You liked it.
Eh.
No, I can tell. I can see that cheesy look on your fucking face. You liked the...
You don't see it. God,
you liked the dad dragging Jason down.
That's because I'm high, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. Allegedly.
No allegedly needed.
Allegedly. I'm using a Letterkenny reference. Allegedly.
You're a big fan of... The dad saving Tina.
Eh, not really. He looked like... Oh,
I mean, I don't know, man. She's the reason he died. I wouldn't come back and save her fucking ass. I'd let Jason fucking nail her. Yeah.
You know. But it's his daughter.
I'm down here drowning. Now the other two can come and drown with me.
You had to do it to him.
I could have drowned.
Jason...
You had to do it to
Jason him. Could have drowned fucking Tina. And you know what? This could have been the one movie where Jason wins and I would have been fine.
Nope. Don't happen.
I would have been perfectly fine.
Jason couldn't even win against Freddy, bro.
What are you talking about? He carried Freddy's head off the beach.
He still didn't kill him.
You can't kill something that's not fucking real.
Freddy fucking winked and shit. He said, "What's up?"
Was in his nightmares.
Freddy was still ready for the fucking for the fade, bro.
So I don't know. I didn't enjoy the... Maybe if Tina, you know, used her powers to force Jason back down under Camp Crystal Lake, that would have been a little bit better. But I just did not enjoy the dad's part in this movie whatsoever.
Imagine diving down in Camp Crystal Lake. Imagine diving down in Crystal Lake.
You just asked me, why did you have to repeat yourself?
Just feeling Jason.
Tina's dad. Well, I enjoyed the fire scene.
Yeah, that was badass.
Yeah. I enjoyed the fire scene of, you know...
Although that fucking gas can was cheesier than shit. That shit only held 2 gallons, but somehow 30 came
I
out.
Liked how Jason was selling the gas. Like, the gasoline was falling on him, and he's like, oh! Like, the gas was hurting him. It could have been. Who knows? He had open wounds. Not very clean.
And you know, probably the smell was like, what the fuck is this? You know?
Oh, the smell. What about the scene where she wraps that thing around his neck and she tries to hang him? And he's got, you know, his old grimace-looking face right there just chilling?
I will go back to the fire scene and say she got some of it on her clothes, and I like the detail that she took that extra shirt off and threw it. I like that.
If they could just put more thought and detail into the way Jason died.
Right. But as far as her choking the shit out of Jason just before that, that was kind of a cool little thing. You know, it was a little strange of a puppet, but yeah, still, it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
So, don't forget, we still have 2 more things to go on with this whole franchise talk. We're gonna rank all of our Friday the 13th movies at the very last episode. And then as soon as that last episode drops, we are going to upload... the unboxing of this Scream Factory Friday the 13th box set. And you guys know how girthy and deep my physical media collection is, so you know how I enjoy physical media, but this Friday 13th box set is... How is it, Ed?
I think it's pretty cool. I really do.
It's nice.
The little, you know, pictures from each and every movie on it, I think that's really sweet, so yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and uncover that, and who knows, fuck it, we might uncover the Friday the 13th box set from 10 years ago, too, from 2009 or 2010, so... but yeah, not a big fan of the ending, because as soon as Tina's dad grabs Jason down, you see Tina and the boyfriend kind of just, you know, there, and then it's over.
Yep.
So I'm not a big fan of the ending. That being said, Ed, what's your star rating for this movie?
You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I'd probably give it a 6 is what I'd give it.
Would give it a 6.
Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't that good either.
It wasn't a good movie. No. It wasn't a bad movie. It was the movie.
Oh, shit.
No. I'm going to give this movie 1 score below you. I'm going to give it a 5, which is a lot better than my original rating from a few years ago. I did give it a 4 a few years ago. But I'm giving this one a 5 right now. It's not terrible. Like, I'm going to agree with you. It's not terrible. We've seen a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it could have been maybe a whole star and a half better.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the ending, I literally probably could have given this a 7. So, but I'm not. I'm going to give this movie a 5. It's still a fun Friday the 13th movie, you know, but it was lacking just 2 things for me. And that was just Jason's death, which is very important for a Friday 13th movie, and then I didn't like the supernatural versus supernatural. So, that being said, next week, guys, we are talking all about Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, next Thursday, September the 23rd, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Ed, are you ready for Monday as we talk Spectre?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Fingers crossed, man, because we have been so close to doing James Bond, No Time to Die. Literally, just, I'm afraid to sit here and say, yeah, we're doing James Bond next week, because every time we've had, it's been canceled or pushed back. But no, we've been on this road to the last Daniel Craig James Bond movie for like almost a year and a half now. So I'm very, very excited. Monday, September the 20th, we talk Spectre.
Yep.
Ready for James Bond.
We have contingency plans, so.
We always have contingency plans.
Yep.
What are you most excited for about Spectre, though? Are you deeply excited? I know you're not the biggest James Bond fan.
I have no idea about this one.
You haven't seen it? This will be a fresh watch for you as well?
Yes.
And if you guys want to hear our thoughts on all the other Daniel Craig's James Bond movies, go back in the archives and check them out. You know, we've done all the Daniel Craig James Bond movies so far, so go back and check them out. Get ready as we talk Monday. Season 4 kicks off with us talking James Bond Spectre, the 2015 James Bond movie.
Yup.
So, Ed, do you have anything else you want to put in the final stamp of Jason the New Blood?
Well, not really. I feel like we've said enough. So I'm going to go ahead and end with I'll see you on Silver Screen.
All right, guys. Don't forget, next Thursday, we will talk Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Until then, send us your thoughts and your reviews on Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood. Send us in some emails, and we will read them Monday when we talk Spectre, James Bond, right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.